As you know, our reading is found on the news and notes sheet and is also there if you wish to follow it. This is about Paul's missionary journeys, and they've reached Lystra and Derbe. In Lystra, there sat a man who was lame. He had been that way from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Laconian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes because he was the chief speaker. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and wreaths to the city gates because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifice to them. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd, shouting, "Friends, why are you doing this? We too are only human, like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. In the past, he let all nations go their own way, yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy." Even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them. Then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. But after the disciples had gathered round him, he got up and went back into the city. The next day, he and Barnabas left for Derbe.
Morning, everyone. For anyone who's visiting this morning, I also am not one of the pastors or ministers of this church, so I'm one of the lay members of the congregation who occasionally help out with the preaching. So my name's Andrew, and we are carrying on with a series which we've been doing, and I think we're going to carry on after this week, in Acts of the Apostles. And we're going back a bit in time. I think a couple of weeks ago, we were in Acts chapter 15, and we've gone back to Acts chapter 14, and that was because I was meant to speak 2 weeks ago, and we were away, or a week or two ago. And so we're back into Acts chapter 14. I don't know about you, but at this time of year, start thinking about travelling and going to various places for holidays. We're going to head off to Corfu later this summer, and I'm hoping we're not going to be in Party Central in Corfu. We're going with extended family, and I'm really hoping we're in a quiet bit of Corfu, but I didn't book the villa. So if we have nightclubs blaring away at 3 a.m. next to us, I'm not going to be too happy. I don't know, is it going to take us about 4 or 5 hours to fly there? Maybe, I don't know. And Keith, if we go to the next slide. We're in a missionary journey of Paul. His first missionary journey, just setting the scene a bit. It's going to take me about 4 or 5 hours to fly to Corfu on Greece. Maybe, I don't know, 5 or 6 hours to Cyprus. I don't know if anyone's been to Cyprus or that part of the world. For Paul, I think his missionary journey, he did 3 of these. This is the first one. I think it took him about 3 years. He started off in Syria, just in the sort of right-hand corner, in a place called Antioch, and then he went over to Cyprus, and then he went over to southern Turkey, and he worked his way around there, and then towards the, well, it's probably about halfway, he gets to these couple of little towns called Lystra and Derbe, or Darbe, or however we pronounce it. And that's where we are this morning, Paul in Lystra and Derbe. They're sort of at the back end of beyond. Take your mind back. Back end of beyond of the Roman Empire. We're certainly not in a city like Rome. We're not even in a city like Jerusalem or Alexandria, one of those great cities of the empire. We're in a little town. Hadn't been in the Roman Empire that long. maybe less than 100 years. So really in sort of dusty back end of beyond here in what's modern day Turkey. And Paul and Barnabas end up there. They turn up at these towns. Imagine the scene. No internet, no TV, no radio. You're in the town, you're one of the townsfolk in these little towns, Lystra and Derbe. A couple of guys walk into town. It's a small town. You probably hear about them coming in quite quickly. News will travel fast. They start talking. They start spreading their new message, maybe in the marketplace, in the forum. And so you hear about this. So far, so ordinary. You're in the Roman Empire. It's been part of a Greek empire before that. You've had itinerant preachers coming with their new ideas, their new philosophies, their new religions. You and your forebears, probably for the last 300 years, since the time when this place was in an empire of Alexander the Great. So far, so ordinary, so very first century AD. Then, our story begins, verse 8 and 9 in Acts chapter 14. In Lystra, there sat a man crippled in his feet, who was lame from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. Well, news will certainly travel fast in the town when something like this happens. These two preachers, Paul and Barnabas, very different now. Something electric has happened in this place. Something very dramatic. A healing has taken place. I love Luke's writing in his Gospels and also in the Acts of the Apostles. The little details in the narrative, a couple of words there. From birth, in verse 8 or 9, from birth. This man had been lame from birth. He would have been known in the town. It would have been a small town. This man would have been known that he could not walk from birth. He's an adult now, so maybe for the last 18, 19, 20, 30, 40 years, we don't know. He couldn't walk. And then Paul and Barnabas come in, and this great miracle happens. What do they do? How do they react? Well, pretty much as you would perhaps done in first century AD in the back of beyond. They say, "You must be gods. You must be gods amongst men. You've come down to us." Some of them may have remembered a tale told to them in childhood, perhaps. A legend from long ago of two gods, Zeus and Hermes, so the legend goes, who came in this area, in an area called Phrygia, this part of southern Turkey. And so the myth went, these gods came down looking for hospitality among the people. And they found none apart from two kind old people, Baucis and Philemon, who offered Zeus and Hermes hospitality. Zeus and Hermes weren't too chuffed, so they flooded the rest of the region. Another flood myth. Interesting there. If you're in first century Lystra and Derbe, you may think, we don't want to make that mistake again. So the local priest of the Temple of Zeus, he doesn't want to get flooded out again. He can't risk that. So he comes out and he claims that they are gods. Paul and Barnabas, you must be gods. This great miracle you have done, you've carried out. And they're about to sacrifice. They're going to get the bulls and do the sacrifices. And Paul and Barnabas say, "No, no, we are not. We are not gods. We are not gods. We just bring this message to you. We bring this message to you." If we go to the next slide. Thank you. I will explain this slide in a minute. It does tie into Acts chapter 14, really. Just get my brain going and I will get this analogy going. What's going on here? What's going on in Acts chapter 14? I would suggest we need to go back to verse 3. If you have a Bible handy, great. If you don't, I'll read it out. Verse 3 in Acts chapter 14, when Paul and Barnabas were in a previous town, Iconium. And there we have a little bit where they were also doing these miraculous signs and wonders. And in verse 3 of chapter 14, it says, "So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there, speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders." I would suggest that for Paul and Barnabas, in Iconium, in Lystra and Derbe, in these towns in southern Turkey, fantastic and amazing though it was, the healing of crippled men and women or whoever else benefited from these fantastic miracles, that was not the main show in town for them. For Paul and Barnabas, that was not really why they travelled over sea for years to southern Turkey. That was not the main attraction, if you like. Not really why they were there. Signs and wonders, verse 3. God is attesting, is validating what they do, is validating their message with these miracles, with these signs and wonders. Great power is coming down into these small towns, and God is there, and he is showing this power, is showing the truth of what they're saying through these signs and wonders. But are the signs and wonders really the main thing? Right, the Rico Arena, what's all this about? I've got my thoughts in gear now. Annie and I, my elder daughter, we've been to the rugby games a few times this year at Wasps to see the Wasps Premiership rugby team. And they play at the Coventry City Football Stadium, the Rico Arena. And been great a couple of times. We've been to see local derby against Leicester, another against Saracens. And as Sam was saying, I'm a bit of a rugby fan. 28,000 to 30,000 there. We have to park about 15 minutes walk away in a car park. And we're walking along to the Rico Arena. And we see the sign there, and we know we're almost there. We're almost at the ground. I reckon if I'd said to Annie, just as we get to the ground, there it is, you can see it, you can see the sign, we don't really need to go any further, do we? We don't actually need to go into the ground. I reckon Annie might have been a little bit disappointed, and her friend Anna, who I took with us one time, might also have been a bit miffed. I'd said, there it is, it's lovely, isn't it? Rico sign, let's just go back to the car now. We want to get into the stadium. We want to see the game. We want to see what this is really about. This is just pointing us to the way. If you can bear with my analogy, in Acts chapter 14, I would suggest, fantastic and amazing though they are, these signs, these wonders, these miracle healings are Paul and Barnabas and God working through them, pointing to something even greater than that. If we can do the next slide, thank you. The locals are saying, the gods are amongst us. The old myths have come to life. Zeus and Hermes, they're here again. And Paul and Barnabas are saying, no, we're not gods. But we bring a message of God who has come amongst men and women. God has come amongst men and women. Back in Acts chapter 13, we have a much fuller sermon, much fuller talk, saying that Jesus has come, and well, I think it was in Antioch in Pisidia. So the message that they are bringing here is of God becoming man through Jesus, taking on human shape, coming, walking amongst men and women, yes. That wasn't Paul and Barnabas. And that is the message they are bringing. That is inside the stadium for Paul and Barnabas. The sign, the Rico Arena sign, yeah, that's great, that's happening. But what they really want the people of these small towns to focus on is that God has come amongst men, that Jesus has walked on earth, has died, and has risen to life. Yes, there's this fantastic miracle of healing, but there is this greater message. There is this greater message. There is a bridge between men and women and God through Jesus' death on the cross. Death has been conquered. Men and women can come to know God, can be with God in this life and the next. We go on to the next slide. Thank you. Now, we don't have a very full sermon here in Acts chapter 14. We just have a glimpse of what they might say. So I was wondering, if they spent any time in these small towns, I'm sure Paul and Barnabas would have expanded on their message. So with a bit of a license, I've taken some of their words, some of Paul's words, from letters that he's written. And just to give a flavor of this message, which many of us know these words. It's the first one from 1 Timothy chapter 2. And Timothy, who he was writing to, young chap, was training later to be a minister, a bishop, whatever you call it. He actually came from Lystra, from this town, which is quite interesting. So Paul's and Barnabas' words here would have sunk into there. So 1 Timothy chapter 2, famous words. This is good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. And then with the other words in Ephesians chapter 2, again, well-known words. God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And words from Romans, again, another letter of Paul. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So that there is this message to these small towns in the back of beyond, in the far-flung corners of the Roman Empire. And Paul and Barnabas are saying, God is with us. God is with you. God has come amongst us. He has not forgotten you. He has not forgotten us. There is a message that if you come to him in faith and repentance, you can be saved. You can be with God. For Paul and Barnabas, this is the heart of their missionary journey. This is the heart of why they're going around these small towns taking this message. If we go to the next slide, thank you. Now, it is difficult, I find, in these talks, in these passages where we have this message of healing. This is a little sort of coda, a little appendix to my talk this morning. I do find it difficult when we come across these stories in Acts and the Gospels of these miracle healings. I start asking questions to myself. Was this just for then? Is it for now? There'll be many here this morning who will have things that aren't quite right with them physically. They've had troubles in the past and will have troubles in the future. I'm not in the rudest of health myself at the moment, which may carry on for a while. So, in Acts chapter 14, Paul and Barnabas came to the man crippled from birth and said, get up and walk. And he walked. What's going on? Does God heal now? Does God answer our prayers? Is God deaf to us? Why does God seem to heal some people and not others? What's going on? I can perhaps express a few doubts up at the front because I'm not a pastor or a minister. So if I had a dog collar on, this bit of the talk might be slightly different. So I'm like you, I'm a pew filler. I go to work in an office in town. I don't have a theology degree. I just have been to church for the last goodness knows how many years. I struggle with this. I can't tell you this morning why God appears to heal some and not others. Why he appears to answer prayers of some and not others. I can't tell you why some people do seem to get up and walk and others don't. What I would say to you this morning is, I don't have time to go into all the things I think about this over the years. I've thought about it for many a year. I'd be very happy to talk to you at greater length if you want to have a chat with me either after the service or drop me an email, pick up the phone to me. I'd be delighted to talk in our house or come around and talk. Few thoughts from me. Beware of the people in Christian circles who say that all sickness and all injury and all pain can be healed instantly, and that the reason they're not is just because we haven't quite got the same faith as them, or that we haven't got quite the right prayers that they have. We don't say the right words to God. Beware of that. On the other hand, beware also of those who would say that God does not heal anymore in a miraculous way. Beware if they say this was just for the age of the apostles and it doesn't happen now. I think for both those extremes, it is men and women putting God in a box of their own making. And I think that is logically flawed, spiritually dangerous, and not very helpful, really. What I would say is, pray at all times. Bring your pain, bring your suffering to God. I do believe that God works through modern medicine in a miraculous way. The NHS is a fantastic thing. Bupa isn't too bad as well, although I'm not a member. It's the same doctors, I think, the same nurses. God is working miracles in those ways. I firmly believe that he still works miracles of healing today, but I cannot tell you why it happens in some places and not others. Pray at all times. Bring your prayers to God. Don't suffer in silence. If the doctors can't heal you, and we have at least one eminent doctor amongst us this morning, there may be more I don't know of. If their fantastic skill can't help you, Don't suffer in silence. Bring your prayers to God. Come and ask Matt to pray for you. Dare I say it, come and ask the elders. And I'm one of them, so I'm a bit tremulous at saying that. Come and ask the elders. James chapter 5 encourages people to come to the elders and ask for prayer and for healing. I can't promise you a miracle. There was a song on that, wasn't there? Yeah, back in the 80s. I can't promise you a miracle, but I am promised that we will pray for you. And then God will answer in his own way. Psalm 13 I've put up there. How long, O Lord? David. I don't know if this was in a time of mental or physical anguish for David when he wrote this. It's difficult. There are times when God seems to be distant from us. And we're not leaping up like the crippled man in Acts chapter 14. We're echoing those words of David. How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? But I think as I draw my thoughts to a close, just brief thoughts from Acts chapter 14. The main message here is that God has come to us and loves us and is gracious to us and has saved us and will be with us every step of the way in this life if we turn to him in faith and repentance. And when this life is done, if we trust in him, he will be with us in the age to come. John chapter 3:16 I put up earlier. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We don't talk about that much these days. Eternal life seems to have gone out of fashion a bit in the church. Our sorrows will pass. There's a verse up there from Isaiah, and I can't turn around and read it, and I'm not going to be able to find it in my Bible. But at the end, the prophet Isaiah, looking to the new age, the end of this world and a new age to come, your sorrows will end. You are loved by God, whether you are weak or strong in body. You are precious to God, whether you are in perfect health and can run marathons, or you can barely get out of bed and walk across the room. I don't know why God will heal some and not others, but I do know that he loves every one of you in this room who come to him in faith and repentance and trust, and that one day our sorrows and our pains and our aches will end, and we will have new bodies in the resurrection. The main message from Lystra is not some magical mystery tour of healing. It's that God loves us and is with us in this world and the age to come. Thank you. Amen.